Bless God. Bless you, brothers and sisters out there listening. And we prayed before we came on, but I'd like to pray again if that's okay with everyone. And we just agree, you know, it's touching our hearts. And Father, we just come to you and we acknowledge that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Father. We acknowledge that there's no one above you. And Father, we also acknowledge like David spoke in the Psalms, Father God, that there's no place we can go that you're not there. Father, you love us so much that you made plans for us. And if we would just get the picture, Father, if we would just get it in our hearts that you want to mature us, that you want a mature body, that you are building a body, you are building a church. And Father God, that we are to push out, like Dave said earlier, push out into the deep, you know, not be wishy-washy about the word and not be like going to the smorgasbord, Father, to just eat of the things that we desire to eat, but those things that are good for us we turn away from. Father, we just ask that you would touch our hearts, give us a yearning and a desire in our heart to press out, to push out into you, Father God, to allow you to expand us to do the things that you would have us to do. And Father, we thank you for that, and we just thank you that you're going to bless, Father, and that the things that are of you, Father, that's going to fall on good soil and produce fruit, and that which is of me and of man, Father God, will bear no fruit and take no root. And Father, we thank you for that. And we trust you, Father, to do the things that you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. Well, brothers and saints, of what I'm fixing to teach on, and there's a lot of scripture, but I'm fixing to teach on, it has to do with push out to the deep. And I'd like to start out reading the scripture to you. It's in Luke chapter 5, and then we're going to read one in John 20, and then we'll just see where God takes us. In Luke 5, it says, "Now it came to pass, while the multitude pressed upon him and heard the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitude out of the boat. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Put out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." And if you've opened it up, you'll probably be reading ahead of me, but stay with me here for a minute. When God calls you to do something, and you hear his voice, he's preparing you that he's going to make a way for whatever it is that he's telling you to do. It's going to come to pass, because his words don't return unto him void. His word will accomplish that which he sent it out to do. So it's going to get the job done. Now, Peter and them were washing their nets, so obviously they had been fishing. And whether they had caught, we're going to find out. We will have an excuse when we think when we're tired and we've done all that we can do. When God asks us to go the next mile, a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us will say, "Well, you know, I don't know about that, Father. I just don't know if I can do that, or I don't really know if that's you telling me to do that or whatever." But Simon Peter answered him. And Simon answered and said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at thy word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking. And they beckoned unto their partners in the other boat that they should come and help them. Now, let's go to John. Peter listened to him. They gave him an excuse. Said, you know, we've been doing this all night. We didn't catch anything. And we do that to the Lord. When he tells us to do something, he said, well, you know, I've already tried that. That didn't work. You know, or I've been trying to get this answer, and it doesn't seem like that's the answer I want to hear. And maturity comes from stretching and by being willing for him to stretch you beyond. Because if you can do it, if you and I can do things, then what do we need him for if we can do it? So we really need him. He is who he says he is. In chapter 21 of John, it says, after these things, and I mentioned this in Bible class today when I was teaching a teacher class at a church, and I was mentioning to the class that it wasn't about this subject, but it was about this. If you and I, and this is part of this lesson, though, if you and I had walked with Jesus, and you've seen him raise the dead, cleanse lepers, grow a withered hand, walk on water, heal a man at the pool of Bethesda that was so crippled up that he couldn't get in the water when the water was stirred, heal a woman with an issue of blood, cast demons out of untold hundreds or probably thousands that followed him. If you had seen those things and been close to him, how could you doubt when he tells you, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to go to the cross, I am going to be put to death, and I am going to rise, and I will be back talking to you. And that which I say unto you is the truth, and it's going to take place. And you and I, you know, I've been really blessed, and I've listened to Dave and some of the other elders, and I have others that I know that have been blessed summarily, that I've seen Jesus grow limbs. I've seen him remove cancers. I've seen him heal broken bones. I've seen him do all that. And I still, at times, struggle to keep walking because my eyes get on what it is that's bugging me or bothering me instead of he's already done that solution. He's already solved that problem. So here we have the disciples in John 21, and it says, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself on this wise. They were together, Simon Peter, Thomas, and I'm going to talk about Thomas later on to remember him, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Jesus had been buried. They had seen Jesus. He walked in the room. They went to the tomb. They saw that he wasn't there. But the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen on him yet. And he comes to these and he says unto them, Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they say unto him, we also come with thee. They went forth and entered into the boat. And that night, they took nothing. Sounds like what happened in Luke. Fished all night and didn't catch a thing. So Peter was familiar with that story. But when it was now breaking, and when day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Therefore saith unto them, Jesus therefore saith unto them, children, and I mentioned that today in class, how wonderful to be called a child. And Dave mentioned when he was talking in the introduction, he mentioned about the elect. And this teaching is about the called, the chosen, the elect, the sons, the heirs, the friends. Now, I don't cover all of that. I don't have time for all of those things. But we are. Well, how wonderful to be called a child of God, children. He didn't call them disciples. He didn't call them Peter or call out to any one person. He called out to children, his children. And if you and I have children, we're going to take care of them. And if we're his child, he's going to take care of us. Children, have you caught anything to eat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find. He told them in Luke to put out into the deep, and they would catch. And it says in Luke, there's three incidences of fishing where the nets break, and in this incidence in John 21, the nets don't break. But I'm not teaching on that. So we're going to push out to the deep, and we're going to understand that Jesus means what he says and says what he means. And for that to happen for you and I, without an expression of love resonating in our hearts, we're not able to understand what Jesus is saying to us. And I don't fully understand all of it. I don't have the fullness of the agape love in my life at this point, but I want it. And I want him to stretch me and to break me and mold me and shape me so that he can be what he wants to be in my life. And so what happens is true love, if you're going to go and be stretched by God, you got to have trust. You got to trust him. And true love is a wooing by the creator of love. And Jesus told Thomas, Didymus, that those that trusted loved him by faith without seeing were welcomed and blessed above them that saw him. That was why I was saying that these guys walked with him and saw all these things that Jesus did. But you know, if you love Jesus and you accept the Holy Ghost in your life, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see God work. He's going to stretch your faith. He's going to help you get where you need to get. And so we know that the multitude saw him with their flesh eyes, and they didn't perceive who he was, who he is, and who he still is. And God's intention towards all of us is love. And if we spurn him, he'll spurn him. He'll spurn you. He'll spurn us. He'll cast us out. His love is pure. We have to go over these things so we can understand. If you can trust him, you'll swim out in the deep. His love is pure, it's patient, it's kind. It's not vain, it's not envious, it's not puffed up. It behaves decently, it doesn't pursue its own agenda, it doesn't provoke easily. It's not happy in unrighteous works, it rejoices in the truth. It quietly covers all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. And most importantly, it never fails. That's 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And I ask, who do you know in your life that has all of their these traits in their life? The only way we can have those traits is hiding. The only one I know that has them is Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost. And if we refuse to hide in him, those character and nature of him won't be deposited in us. There's a paradigm shift in the world occurring right now. And Dave was talking about it. We're living in exciting times. Things are changing. The true Christian is hitting the scene. The brothers and the sisters that say they're Christians, they're on the verge of being on a dividing line, as you beginning to become very evident if someone is or someone isn't. If they are acting, or if they are doing and are the real thing. And we're experiencing major end time signs, and revelation is coming. We were talking earlier, the elders and they were talking earlier about that revelation is coming, and spending time with him, he begins to deposit things in us. And why is he doing that? Because he's trying to grow us up. He's trying to get his church ready. And we must abide in him if we are to overcome. And we don't need to be taking credit for things that he does and things that he works, because it's all him. And Jesus said that the way Jesus said it. I only do that which I see my Father do and say those things that I hear my Father say. And without him, I can do nothing. That's a lesson that I'm learning. And hopefully it's a lesson that you're learning, and how he's teaching you and stretching you in your situations and the things that you are doing. But as we read and study, we understand the great love he has for us. And it has to be by spirit. Your flesh can't get it. And it won't run the road. It won't run the race. Your flesh just won't pay the price. And what I'm talking about here is we need to learn how to drown in the deepness of him, for he is unending and he has no bottom. And we will bear fruit, as stated in Galatians 5, proportional to the measure and the stature of Christ within us. I've used that scripture a lot. If you have a big Jesus, he's going to do big things. If you have a little Jesus in your heart, he's not going to do very much. And the only way you get to know him better and see the bigger things is to trust on him, is to stretch out on him and to hide in him. And he will do the things and will bring us to higher heights and bring us to places that we can't even begin to dream of. Excuse me. I want to read a scripture in Matthew 20, 14 through 16. It says, take that time, take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. And the Greek word that Jesus used there is kletos. It means invited, means appointed, or specifically a saint or called. And we, folks, we do... America has taught us, and you hear it day in and day out, that we are all created equal. That's not written in the Word. We're all created human. I mean, the humans are all created humans, but they're not all created equal. Some are poor. Some are rich. Some have health. Some don't. Some have poor health. Some have hearing. Some don't. Some can see, some can't see. If we were equal, then we would be equal. But God has his hand on, if whatever it is you're going through, he has his hand on that for a reason. And part of our problem with walking with the Lord and trying to go out into the deep is that thing that we carry around in our hearts, that we're all created equal and we're not. Because the Word, to go back over it, the Word does on numerous occasions speak about the poor and the rich, the powerful, the weak. One person was given 5 talents. One person was given 3. One person was given 1. And the Bible says according to their several ability. So that means they weren't equal in ability either. But they could equally have the same outcome. So whatever God has deposited in you is enough to get the job done. It's enough to take you to another level. You know, in Judges chapter 1, verse 10 through 13, it says, "Of these as many indeed as they have not known, they speak evil of, and as many things as naturally, as the irrational beast, they understand, and these they are corrupted. Woe to them, because in the way of Cain they did go, and they did go on, and to the deceit of Balaam for reward they did rush, and in the gainsaying of Korah they did perish. These are in their love feast craggy rocks, feasting together with you without fear, shepherding themselves clouds without water, by winds carried about, trees autumnal without fruit, twice dead, rooted up, wild waves of sea foaming out of their own shame, stars going astray, to whom the gloom of the darkness of this age has been kept. The spots and wrinkles in the true body of Christ and in our individual lives are in there so that God can train us up and free us from them. And that's why the body has to hone the body. That's why deep calls unto deep. And that's why iron sharpens iron. You have a friend. Most people listening now, listening to my voice, they know someone they can call that knows how to touch the Lord and how can they can pray and God listens to them. And that's not something that's unusual. That's something that you and I and all of us within the sound of my voice, we can do that, but we are still to have brothers to confess your faults one to another whereby you might be healed. So Jesus is trying again to raise us up, to strengthen us, to make us strong. You know, all the Hebrews were called to come out of Egypt, as well as the proselytes that they had converted. And you well know the story, and you've heard Dave teach, and you've seen it on the site, and you probably heard it in the fellowships that you're involved in. They didn't all make it. They didn't all make the promised land. But Jesus said that many are called, but few are chosen. So you need to conform your heart now that you want to be like him. You want to go from called to chosen, to elect, to friend, to heir, the joint heir, the sons, hallelujah, right? Isn't that right? It says in Matthew 22, "And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment." I spoke of this morning also. You know, Jesus told him to go in the highways and the byways and the hedges and command them to come in and bring them all in. And the angels went and did exactly what he said that he wanted them to do. And now he's going about looking over what they brought into his banquet. And he's saying, "Friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, "Bind him with hand and foot and take him away and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we can't hide, folks. We can't hide on our laurels. We can't hide on what we think we know. We can't continue in the same old, because God is stretching us, and he's wanting to expand us, and he's wanting to grow us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, "Paul called to the apostle, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." I'm giving you scriptures for this call as we go through. Revelation 17:12-15, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The Greek word for chosen is eklektos, and it means to select, and by implication, favorite. It's chosen and elect. It's from eglomai, to select and make a choice and to choose out. We are a chosen generation, a special people loved by him. Desiring to please the flesh and feeling warm and fuzzy, while not bad in and of themselves, they're not signs of his indwelling. Indwelling occurs as we allow the measure and the stature of Christ to manifest in us, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Deuteronomy 7, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. Saints, that is a tremendous scripture that God has chosen us. He's called us to be a select people. And he's called and told us that he's going to dwell among us. And he has done that. He's done that in Christ. And now he's dwelling in us. Glory to God forever. Further on in the same chapter, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. So don't think you got any special things going on for you. For you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. He didn't choose them because they were select people. He didn't choose you because you were good looking, or your wife was good looking, or your children are good looking. He didn't choose us for that reason. He chose us because he wants our hearts to do those things for him, to hide in him. And our talents didn't get the job done. It has to be our heart. Deuteronomy 14, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord has chosen you to be peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. That's why we're to come out from among them, folks. That's why we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I can remember talking to Bob McCarty quite a bit about that, and he used that a lot. I know that Bill Rowe uses it also, that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't act like the world. We don't solve solutions like the world. Example of this. In the class that I teach on Sundays, I'm teaching them about trying to get out of debt. Get out of debt so somebody can't come and say, well, this is mine, give it back to me. And that's not going to be easy for a lot of folks, but if you make a commitment to do it, God will make a way. And in this class, we're saying that. We're saying, just make a commitment. Start trying to pay off the little stuff and get out. And one of the testimonies today in class was, when we took what you said about that, because it's been a while, it's like everything broke loose. It's like we got bills from who knows where, and everything's attacking our finances. And I said, well, why do you think that is? If nothing was ever bothering before, when you were just welcome to stay in debt and you didn't want to change and you didn't see how you could change and you didn't see that Jesus had the power to change and to touch your finances. And like I told him, if he can grow fish, he can grow thousands of fish out of five, he can stretch your checkbook. I know that I've seen him do Priscilla and I's. And I'm sure that those listening, the elders listening, he's done it for them too. That there are times when he just did it. I don't know how he did it. I'm clueless about how he did it. All I know is that he did it. He says in 2 Chronicles, he said, but I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people. Psalms 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Psalms 105, you seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen. Isaiah 44, you now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. That's actually, thus saith the Lord, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Matthew 20, the last shall be first, the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Says that scripture again. He reiterates that again in Matthew 22. In Mark 13, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, and Dave mentioned the word elect. For the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened those days. John 15, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Praise God forevermore. 15 and 19, if you were of the world, the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. If you're going through things in your life right now, because you are a child of God and you are standing up as a child of God, you don't have to walk in the street and yell with a big placard on your chest, you know, repent, repent, the world's going to end. If you just witness in your job and witness in your family and stand up for the things that the Word says, you're going to find out. You won't have any trouble finding out, because people are going to come out and disagree with you. Priscilla and I had our granddaughter is dealing with some issues, and we've been speaking the word to her, and she sent a text message yesterday to us. She said, "Do y'all believe everything that's in the Bible? Do you believe every word that is in there?" Of course, our answer is yes, and the reason that she's asking that question, I'm surmising, but I would think the reason she's asking that is because she's probably being convicted of something, not feeling guilty, being convicted of something that's written in there, and she's trying to get an interpretation that turns her loose from it. But God isn't going to do that. God is a discerner of the intents of our hearts. And if we would learn to get off of milk and get onto the Word and press out into the deep, how many and much things would He show us? How much of His love would He impart? How many of His gifts would He hand out? How much would the Holy Ghost use each of us if we decided, well, we're not just going to stay sitting in a chair or sitting in a fellowship and just listening and listening and listening. We're going to be a doer. We're going to do like James. We're going to be a doer. We're going to accept the Word as true. We're going to have faith that God is going to bring us through, protect us with all of that armor that He gives us in Hebrews 6. First Peter 2, but you are a chosen generation. Look at all of the beautiful things we're called. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. What an indictment for a lot of us, you know. Well, I got born again 20 years ago, and that's about it. I haven't changed. I mentioned today in class, I ask God to change me every day. I ask Him to take the stuff that's error in my life and get rid of it, however He has to do it. he has to yank it out. Then, okay, Father, just yank it out. Just work on me so that I can be a vessel of honor. You know, that gold, silver, wooden, hay, it says, you know, those vessels don't, you know, they're good. They're good. But to be a vessel tried and broken and placed and remolded and reshaped into his image is more precious than gold, more precious than silver, more precious than wood, hay, and stone. And he says that these vessels are in his house, praise God. Revelation 17 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So we've come through being called. You know, the Bible says in John 6:44, nobody comes to God unless God draws him. So if you're born again, you heard his voice. What you done, what kind of English is that? What you and I have done since that call, that's what we're talking about now. That's exactly where we're talking, because God needs soldiers, and he needs commanders, and he needs sergeants, and he needs corporals, and he needs generals and majors and captains. He needs us. He needs us to get involved. He needs us to be what he's called us to do. Realizing we are chosen is useless if we don't accept what he's chosen us for. If he says we're kings and priests, then we are. If he says we are made to sit in heavenly places, then we are. Therefore, what is our problem? And you know it before I even say it. It's our flesh. Flesh is powerful. It's powerful. I teach about the spirit, soul, and body mentioned in Thessalonians, and it's got these three concentric circles, and the way we are, unfortunately, is the smallest circle in the center is our spirit. The next circle is our soul, and that big old circle that goes around all of them is the flesh, and it's strong, and it's got power, and it doesn't want to relinquish to the spirit. But when you get born again, your spirit is regenerated, and God is beginning to implant and deposit things in you, and he wants to be able to take control of the soul and the flesh through the spirit. That's why he said in John 3:16, when he was talking about being born again, you can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. And you can't enter unless you're born of the spirit, and the spirit has to begin to take control over our flesh. We are a generation of people that are fixing to head into a wilderness, and we need to allow him to destroy that big, big circle on the outside, that flesh circle. And it doesn't give up easy. At least that's been my experience with it. Many times when I think that I'm done with having a temper, and I see it flare up at times. It's not as often. In fact, it's rare, but it still tries to come back. And it's a matter of saying, no, you're not doing that. You're not coming back. I rebuke you. You're not going to bring me back where I was. I don't want to go back there. I'm done with that. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity towards God, for it is not being subjected to the law of God, for neither can it be. That's Romans 8. So what God wants to do with us, he wants to bring us to another level, right? So he says in Romans 8:15, it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Having been adopted by my father at the age of 3, whom I consider to be my real father, who's now passed on and gone to the Lord, I know what adoption is. And I know that I learned what love truly was through my dad, because He wasn't my birth father, but he loved me, and he took care of me, and he clothed me, and he tried to teach me how to do right, and how to live right, and how to be a man of character, and have integrity, and be able to be trusted. And when you say something with your mouth, that's all that you have is your word, so your word has got to be worth something. And look at Jesus' word. The Bible says that Jesus looks over his word to perform it. He also says he's going to send it and it's not going to come back void. So that he really thinks a lot about his word. And you can't find anywhere in the word where God backed up and said, well, I really didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I'm going to take that back. I didn't mean that. He doesn't do that. And so we're adopted. And the word adopted in the Greek is a word called eunuchotia. It's the placing as a son. That is an adoption. Figuratively, it's sonship of children and of sons. It says in Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 9. Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Galatians 4, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, you know, we get called. Then God, on his own volition, calls his chosen. I'm of your chosen generation, you're appreciative. We have a high calling. Then he takes us on as his own sons, bless God forevermore. And all of these things that we go through, the steps that we go through, are to do what? To train us up. To grow us up. To mold us and shape us in the form of Jesus. He's saying, you know, I chose you. I called you, I chose you, I made you one of my own, and it was very costly for me to do that, but I did it anyway. And now that we are adopted, we are waiting for the fullness of the things that he has given us, right? We're waiting for the whole thing that he has given us, the fullness of those things. It says in Ephesians 1, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He wants to do it. He wants to sharpen us. And if iron sharpens iron, he's the top iron piece. And he, through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, is what he uses to knock off those rough edges we have. And to knock off those belief systems that we have that are not congruent with his word. And to humble us and to bring us to a place where we can listen and understand what he's saying to us. You know, to many of you listen that, and I know because I do counsel with quite a number of folks that when you listen to the problems that people have, and listen to even the dreams, because God will give you a dream that doesn't have anything to do with the end times. It has to do with your life. It has to do with my life. It gives me a dream for me, but it gives you a dream that when you start reading it makes your knees knock together or begins to make you shake because, you know, you'll see where he's dealing with you about some area of your life. That's because he loves you. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't show you those things. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't show us where we need to get straightened out, where we need to get deep. We've got to learn. It's our nature to rebel in all areas of our being. Rebellion in the flesh, rebellion in the heart, rebellion in the spirit. You know, you rebel against God's word. You read something in his word, spirit and life is what the Bible says. And when you refuse to receive it, then you're rejecting him. You're rejecting the Spirit. You're rejecting His words. And your flesh can want to do something, and your body will, your soul will say, no, don't do that, and your flesh will just take over anyway. I've had people say, well, how do you know? How do you know your flesh? And the only thing that I know to use, where I've used to teach it, and maybe Dave or one of the other elders has more insight into this, but I've talked to my wife, and I've talked to several women, you know, that when they want to have, you know, a fur coat or something, and or they want to go buy something, and they put it on their body, and it says, "Ooh, that feels so good. I gotta have that. I gotta own that. I have to," you know, silk shirts or those kind of things. And so your flesh is talking to you, and then it comes up into your soul where you have a war. You know, the soul's beginning to talk to you, and the spirit's beginning to talk and say, "No, you don't need that. Oh no, I need that. It feels good, and I like it, and it makes me look good." And all these other things that we justify giving in to our bodies, justify giving in to a thought process that's not of Him. But if we're going to grow, if we're going to go out in the deep, if we're going to say, Father, take me out the ocean, take me out there, Father, then we're going to have to understand there's some things that He's going to take out there and drown. You know, Paul admonished us as Thessalonians to be perfect in the spirit and the soul and the body. Therefore, if we can, we listen to the Lord. If we listen to the Lord and not the Lord of this world, then we can grow. I can't find anywhere in Scripture, maybe you can. Right. You know, and I've heard people say, and you probably have too, you know, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, and they deserve it. You know, you deserve to have better. You deserve to live better. You deserve to own more, to prosper more. You deserve to be loved by everyone and not to be in any controversial place at all. You know, you've heard those just as well as I do. I have. And when you compare that to what the Word says, that by this shall you know that they are my disciples, that they love one another, they share with one another, they give unto one another. They're ready riders. They're styluses of silver. And they're ready to answer to help. Pray you one for another whereby you might be. You know, one of the first scriptures that people learn, especially after they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, is all the promises in Him are yes and amen. And little camps shoot off of that, and it causes us to stagnate and not to grow into the measure and stature of Christ in Him. We don't get anything without faith, but you can have a faith camp that's all there is. And there's more in the Bible than just faith. Or you can have a prosperity message. And all of these are splinter groups. You can have a healing message. Excuse me. You can have a camp of prophecy. You know, these things are springing up all over the country. You know, come to here, we got the healing message. Come over here, we got the prophetic message. And they just have part of it. And maybe they were on the right track when God first anointed them and gave it to them. But now they've come into a camp where it's become stagnant and it's become them. It's not Him anymore. Yeah, all the promises in the Bible are yes or amen, but they're all in Christ. They're not in you, they're in Him. And if we accept Him to live in our life, then all those amen promises are in Him. How do we plug into that? How do we tap in? Is it by being called? Is it by being chosen? Is it by being adopted? Is it by being elect? Is it by being joint heirs and sons and priests? It's You don't get any of that without hiding. And in our weakness, we are made strong. And flesh don't want to admit it's weak. It just has a problem with that. It can always resolve things. If we hide within our flesh, we'll get a flesh thing. If we hide within Jesus, we'll get the Spirit. And we'll get the promise that comes with that word that is Spirit. Deuteronomy 6, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Deuteronomy 11, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. 11:13, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Deuteronomy 11:22, for you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and cleave unto him. That hasn't changed, folks. None of that's changed. Jesus didn't do away with none of that. Deuteronomy 30, and the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart, praise God, and the heart of your seed to love the Lord thy God. You see, you can't do it without him. You can't force yourself to love him. You can hang around him in his word, though. The more you hang around him, he's going to be there, because the Bible says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. You'll circumcise your heart and the heart of your children, the seed, that's the seed, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Praise God. Loving God brings life. Never die, according to Jesus. Verse 16, and that I command you this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God will bless you in the land where you go. Joshua 23, take good heed therefore unto yourself, that you love the Lord your God. Psalms 31, oh, the love of the Lord, all you his saints, the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. What's the key? Of God. O ye that love the Lord, Psalms 97, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Praise God. Matthew 22, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Mark 12, verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all thy mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Luke 10:27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So there's a requirement to being chosen. There's a requirement to being called. There's a requirement to being elect. There's a requirement to being adopted. And it's loving God. Once you've got that revelation, then you love him. And you don't abandon him. And you don't forget him when it's not convenient, you know? When we're all out and we're doing, you know, and we're with people that we're not sure about, well, we're not going, we don't want to run them off. We don't want them to think that we're holy rollers. We don't want any of that kind of business. But that's the wrong thought. That's the wrong mindset. We need to get rid of that. The requirement is to love God. I love my wife, and I brag on her and talk about her to anybody that will listen. I love my children. I love my grandkids, and I'll talk about them and brag on them. Why are we so reluctant to brag on, well, what's God done for you today, brother? Well, if I was any more blessed, there'd be two of me. That's not that's not right. You know, when you really sit down and talk to them and get down on the, where the rubber meets the road, they really have issues in their life, and they're really needing someone to talk to them. So being the requirement is to love God and to accept him as he is and ask him to change us from what we are. And when we do that, when we accept this, accept the call, accept being chosen, the adoption, and love God, then he's going to start working on the clay. He's going to start working on the process. He's going to start growing us up. And it's his job, the Holy Ghost's job, to reprove us of sin, to smelt out the dross out of the gold. So purifying the believer is the job of the Holy Ghost. And he will reprove us of sin and lead us into righteousness. And when he shows you and I an area in our life that is displeasing to him, he'll help you get rid of it if you really seriously want to. But being willing is something that you have to do. He don't provide that. You have to submit your will to him. And he'll provide the fire to do it. Malachi 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. You know, sons of Levi, we're called priests and holy people. So this scripture applies to us. That they may offer unto God an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old, as in former days. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. In 2 Samuel, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he can commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. Okay, folks. Some of us are having that rod, and he's using the world to get after us. Praise God. But thank you, Father. We're going to learn early. We're going to be a quick study, and we're going to change, and we're going to turn, and we're going to be obedient, and we're going to repent. Praise God. Chasing him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and your kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. In Psalms 94, blessed is the man whom thou chastens, O Lord, and teachest him out of your law, that thou mayest give him rest in the days of adversity. Praise God. That's sitting in the deep, folks. When you're in the deep water, he's going to give you rest. Hallelujah. Until the pit dig for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Praise God, we've moved up to sons. For what son is he whom his father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have heard that fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for a profit, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Proverbs 3, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son of whom he delights. You know, we've been taught, a lot of us have, especially when you come out of some of the denominations that we've come out of, it's all a pretty good road. You know, you get saved, you get born again, you're okay. Just go on about your life now. You gave your life to Jesus. Now that's it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about studying. Don't worry about reading. Just be sure you're in church every Sunday, and be sure you're sitting in a good pew, and be sure you got your ears on, and be sure you give your money. And you don't grow. And when you don't grow, when trouble comes, you have no place to go but the world, and the world can't help us. The world can't give us answers. The world can't bring us to a place where we can be free. Only Jesus can do that. And it comes from learning to want, have a desire in your heart to go deeper with him, to learn more of him. Again, I bring up my wife. I want to know all about her. I want to know what she likes to eat, what she doesn't like to eat, what she likes to wear, what she doesn't like to wear, what music she likes to listen to, what music she doesn't like to listen to, when, how she likes to be spoken to, how she likes to be handled. All those things bring forth love. So how can we say we love God if we don't spend any time with him? How can we say we love God if we haven't grown anymore? Praise God, he's trying to grow us up. Proverbs 3, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't get tired of it. Praise God, thank him for it. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son, in whom he delights. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Revelation 3, I counsel you to buy of me gold, tried by fire. How are you going to get it? That thou may be rich, and white raiment that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. There's an added word, I rebuke and chasten. I've had spoken in tongues to myself and then asking for the interpretation, and after I got it, I kind of thought, well, I wish I hadn't done that. But, you know, when the Lord, you pray in tongues to yourself and you start asking him for interpreting, you know, because the Bible says, you know, when there's nobody to interpret, pray to yourself and pray that you interpret. And sitting there and you asking him what you're saying, and you got a pencil and paper there, and he starts off with, my son, I love you, but I would say this unto you. I mean, when I hear that sometimes, I kind of do like that king that saw that hand that wrote on the wall, knees kind of knocked together, especially when he starts giving me words. I want you to go read this out of Proverbs, to go read this out of Jeremiah. I know that there's some hard things in there. There's some hard things. And what he's trying to do is, if you say, well, just deal with me. Go on, Father. I want to get deeper in you. I want to learn more about you. I want to learn what pleases you. And I understand that, you know, not just being a good old boy, that it takes more to please you than that. And when you start learning that, he starts growing you, praise God, forever. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, there's a key. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To he that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So, Dave, are you there? Do I need to stop?
No, sir. Keep on going. I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Okay, brother. So, you know, we learn that we're called. We learn that we're chosen. We learn that we're adopted. We learn that he calls us sons and priests and holy and righteous. You know, and you have to go back, if you're really listening to what I'm saying, what did you and I do to get that? What did we do to say, well, Jesus, look down at here at me. You know, I'm doing the right thing. You need to come down here and do these things for me. They're all gifts from Him, just like Jesus said. Jesus couldn't do anything without Him. You didn't call Him, He called you. We learned that we didn't choose Him, He chose us. We didn't ask Him to adopt us, He said He wanted to. We didn't ask Him to make us priests. He wants to make us priests because He wants to make us like His Son. Because His Son is a priest. His Son is all, He's under the order of Melchizedek. I mean, come on, folks. He's, when you boil it down, you didn't get saved for anything you did. You got saved because He called you in John 6:44. And then He triggered John 3:16. In the book of Acts, He gave us the Holy Ghost so that we could learn how to live like Jesus, so that we could learn to accept our cross. Because you're not going to accept your cross unless the Holy Ghost comes to visit you. I won't, you won't, no one will. I mentioned today in class, there were two men, there were more men on Golgotha when Jesus was crucified, but there were two specifically mentioned for a reason. And Jesus was there because that was His cross. And we're not talking about the one they nailed on Him. His cross was yours and my sin. His cross, like I told him in class today, His cross was our adultery, our fornication, our lies, our stealing, our murdering, our killing, our deception, our gossip, our backbiting. That's why He was there. Our rejection of Him. That's why He was there. Our disobedience to His Father, that's why He was there. That's a pretty heavy cross. That's a pretty heavy load. And being alienated from His Father for that instant of time when all those things were put on Him, when He was crying out, Father, why have You forsaken Me? Because God can't look on that stuff. He can't fellowship with sin and all that stuff I mentioned. He just can't. So Jesus was made a mediator way before the world was created. He was our mediator. And He kept that job of mediation. And He kept that job of being obedient to His Father. And now He can say, there's Rex down there, Father. And He got these issues. And He's wanting to get rid of them. Well, send the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost do this and thus and this and thus and so. And we'll get him turned around. We'll put the fire on his life and we'll peel some of that onion off, and we'll drag him through that knot hole backwards. And when we get done with him, we know what he's going to do because he loves me, and he's going to fall down and prostrate himself and just say, Father, just even if you kill me, Father, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. Right? That's what he's wanting. But these two men, you know, and we got those two men in us, believe me. That first guy, hey, man, if you be who you say you are, get down from here. Get us down first, is what he said. And then if you don't do us, at least do yourself. Okay? There's that flesh talking. Well, I want to grow in you, but, oh, please don't take that away from me. Oh, I want to serve you, but please don't make me go do that. You mean I got to go and repent? You mean I got to go talk to Susie or Fred or whoever and make things right and get things straightened out? You mean I really got to do that stuff? Can't you just give it to me without all that? Then you got the guy that's up there, the other guy that's up there on his right side, and what does he say? Man, you need to be quiet. You know, we're sitting up here because we deserve this, and when we get that revelation, we'll grow. When we get that revelation that we deserve what we're getting because of the way we are, because we allow our flesh to take over, we allow our soul to take over, and we keep pushing our spirit back and relegating it to this little old small circle spot that it's not strong and it's not powerful and it's not integrated into Christ and it's not growing with Christ and it's not growing in the measure and stature of Christ. That's what that flesh wants to do. We don't want that to happen. But this guy says, hey, man, we deserve this. We deserve it. And when we come to that revelation, then we're going to grow. And Jesus turned to that man. All that man asked him was, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me. Praise God forevermore in paradise. My Bible says the kingdom of heaven is within us. We can go there now if we'll allow Jesus to just work on ourselves now. We'll allow him to kill us. So the cost of walking with Jesus is learning how to die. We all want to go, but we don't want to look in the wallet of our hearts to verify and certify our tickets. An example of the cost is the cross. Now that which we are heading into the dawning of the third day from Calvary, the apostate church wants to look elsewhere for the payment book. You know, we don't want to go through no wilderness. You hear a lot of folks, if you tune in a lot to supposedly these big names throughout the country, you're going to find they all prophesying, oh, everything's going to be good and warm and fuzzy. You know, we're, you know, the church is fixing to go into a revival like it's never done before. And there's all this going to happen. Yeah, it's going to go into revival. Revival comes through pressure, folks. If you read Finney and Torrey and Ravenhill, revival comes when people are pressed and they have to have God. It's either death or God, and it's death either way, actually. You know, the cross is too brutal. God doesn't and will not let us go through something like that. When you've heard that, you know, God paid for my sins on the cross, so I don't have to go through that. I don't have to suffer nothing. That's a lie from the devil. If we don't go to the cross, he won't. Maturity always costs. And the thing that we don't want to be, saints, is that we don't want to be his children that are ever learning but never coming to the truth. This is in 2 Timothy 3:1-8. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You need to understand something. The Bible's written to the saint. It's not written to the lost dude. It's written about some lost people and the lost. But it's written to those of us that profess that we know him. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, never learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. He's talking about the church, okay? Folks that are in the church. And they don't want to grow. You know, look at some of the traits. Unfortunately, you know, some of these things cut deep into my heart because there are times when I have these things swell up in me. But thank God for the Holy Ghost, folks. We need to say, no, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not. I'm not like that. I'm free in Jesus' name. By your Spirit, I'm free, Father. By the work of Calvary, I'm free, Father. Praise God. Coming under submission is not an option, guys. It's a commandment. A choice to stay immature will cost you more than you want to pay. When wilderness comes, and it is coming, if we have no depth, we will have no sustaining power to rely on. Depth is directly proportional to the measure and the stature of Christ Jesus within us. So we need to check our hearts out. We need to find out where the purse strings of our hearts are. You have to do it for you. I can't. I have to do it for me. Now, you can get in a meeting when someone is prophetic and they can prophesy over you and they can really, you know, hit you between the eyes. It's kind of like that thing when you pray in the spirit by yourself and you find out, well, you know, I love you, my son, but I want to talk to you about this thing that you got going. And hopefully, you know, you don't have to go in front of a bunch of people and have that said to you openly, because God will do that. He won't do it in the beginning. He'll do it privately. He'll send someone to talk to you, or you have a friend that's prophetic or is anointed, and words of wisdom and knowledge will come forth and correction will come forth. And you know that it's him, because he's been dealing with you. God's not going to give you something that's not already inside your body, that's been gnawing on you, dealing with you and worrying you. He's not going to come up with something new. He's going to work on that. And if you won't give it up and you really tell him you love him and you really try to hide behind him, then you're just really just going to be stubborn and not give it up, and he's going to come fix you. And praise God that he loved us that much to do that. In Deuteronomy 8, it says, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." That happened. That didn't just happen to them. That's happening right now while I'm talking to them. There are Christians that are just got themselves lifted up to a point, you know, well, we don't need him no more. Yeah, he did that for me back then, but I don't need him anymore. I can do it now. I can make it. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. That's Psalms 84. Proverbs 4, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. What's that? That's his word. Unto those that find them. That means you got to look for them. And just drop them on you. And health to your flesh. That's a pretty good promise. And I know that I've heard Dave use that. I've heard Bill use that scripture in dealing with people that are praying for healing and things. I have prayed it. I've even prayed it on myself. But you know what? That's a wonderful promise. But you know that promise is fulfilled in Jesus. He don't have a problem with that. He's not sick. He's not all gummed up. His mind's not confused. He's not trying to figure out where he's going to take his next step. So we hide him. It's health to your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Bless God forever, folks. That's pretty simple. Jeremiah 12, for thou has planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. Oh, my goodness. But thou, O Lord, know me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. You're going to try yours and my heart, folks. That's going out to the deep. You don't get in the deep water without being tried. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Matthew 12, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Oh, me. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, that shall give account of. You know, we don't really believe that scripture. In the day of judgment, For by thy word shall you be justified, and by thy word shall you be condemned. It had nothing to do with your works. And so don't get confused when you read James that, you know, let me see your works, you know. He's not talking about you mowing the lawn at church. You're not talking about you putting out the communion utensils. You're not talking about sweeping the aisles. He's talking about these things about loving God. And if you love God, you'll bring forth fruit. Sure, you may cut the lawn. And it's not a work. It's a love. You may clean the communion utensils. It's not a work. You're not doing it to gain favor with anybody. You're doing it because you love God and because you want to be a blessing. And you want to be a help because that's part of the gifts. It says that in Romans. Helps is one of the gifts, praise God. One of the places that people are set in. Not one of the gifts of the Spirit, but one of the places that the Spirit uses to set people in. Matthew 15, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they are that which defile man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile a man. That's that flesh stuff. All those things that we just read, that's flesh, folks. 2 Timothy 2, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, now how are you going to do that? If you have evil thoughts, how are you going to get rid of them? You got to pull down those thoughts and put on the mind of Christ. That's how you get rid of them. That's Scripture. But that means that you got to do something. That means you got to give up that thought. And maybe we relish those thoughts. You know, there are times in my business world where people have mistreated me so bad that I've gotten in my car and driven around and prayed. You know, I said, now, you know, Father, you know, I need to get even with them, and I need to do this, and I need to do that, and I start planning, and I start doing that stuff, and all of a sudden I get a really bad feeling in my spirit, and I have to go repent. Now I'm really saddened because now I've gotten out of line with him. But we all do that. We plan, you know. I know how I can get them back. Somebody say something bad to you, and you think, well, you know, you might know something about them, and say, well, I'm just going to use that on them. And the Holy Ghost will tell you, well, if you use that, you know it's going to make it worse. And you know, you just have an argument within your body. And you say, well, I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to act anyway the way I want to. Hey, come on. That's what I'm going to do. We all do that. That's flesh. But he's working on us so that we do it less and less and less and less. And one day you're going to get up and you won't be doing it. Somebody will hurt your feelings. You just say, just help them, Lord. Somebody will abuse you wrongly. You just say, help them, Lord. Help them, Lord. You begin to pray for them. Just like UBM and Dave prayed for these people that came out against them. They didn't get after them. They prayed for them, and they tried to show them the truth and witness to them. That's the way of Jesus, okay? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he's a vessel unto honor. Praise God forevermore, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee useful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, and charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What kind of heart? Pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Come on, folks. Don't strive. If somebody got a job that you wanted, that, you know, God did that. And God got a better job for you. So just let it go. Praise the Lord forever. gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. See there? It's a God thing. If God will grant it, if God will draw you, if God will call you, if God will make you chosen. You understand? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his own will. May we grow to the point that the Lucifer and his imps, now Lucifer don't have time for you and me, but he got a lot of imps that do. May we reach a point in our life and in our walk that they can't come take us captive. They can't make us have a bad temper. They can't make us gossip. They can't make us get in the old rut. They can't make us go back and do those old things that we used to do. We're pressing on. We're going on the high calling of the Lord. We're pressing on to the mark. We're going forward like Paul. We're going to go on. We're going to go on, and we're going to allow him to chasten us and to rebuke us and to train us up. Amen? Our minds need to be made up and sold out to absolute truth that there is no other way but to wade into the water. Glory to God. Commit and ask for death. Seek his purging and repent from our ways and commit to his ways. If you've heard this is easy, you've been deceived. If they, the world, our relatives, our loved ones, our flesh and blood, persecuted Jesus, they will do the same to us. We need to sell out now while the Spirit is wooing. And that's what he's doing, because he knows the wilderness is coming. There's coming a time when he will stop. The Bible says that. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles could come in. There's going to come a time. You know, we're engrafted and we're the new Israel, but before that, we Gentiles. That's what we were. And though our loved ones and those people that we need to have a heart to win them. We need to have a heart to be like Christ, because there's going to come a time, there's going to come an hour, there's going to come a minute, there's going to come a second when it's going to stop and he's going to start working specifically on the church and bringing the church to a point. The heart of our wallets must be open. We must count the cost as nothing compared to the glory that we will have with him. And herein lies the root of the love of the Father. He loved us enough to sacrifice his own son. And we do no less but to offer ourselves as a sweet smelling savor unto him, the head of the body. You know, if it costs you nothing, that's what it's worth. Nothing. In 2 Samuel, and the king said to Arnon, "Nay, but I will surely buy it from thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. In 1 Chronicles 21, and King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily pay it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." You know, we just read a scripture where we're a sweet-smelling savor in our prayers, okay? So it's going to cost. Matthew 13, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Luke 14, for which of you intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. 1 Corinthians 15, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts of Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Talking to believers. You know, you stay in a in a baby state, you stay in that beginning wooing state that God brought you through when you first met Him and gave your life to Him after He called you. You'll buy in hook, line, and sinker to the thing that you can't get rid of any sin, that you're going to just be an old sinner going through this world. And I know that what I'm saying now probably aggravates some folks, but there's coming a place and there's coming a body. I ask God that I wanted to be in that body, that sin will find nothing in me. Just like when Jesus talking to Pilate, he said, Satan comes, but he finds nothing in me. Okay? And that's where we want to be. Satan comes and don't find nothing to grab hold of, get rid of, because he looks at you and he finds Christ. Like I told class this morning, this is on a totally different teaching, but a lot of this stuff is still the same, is if you sit down and wrote down your sins, you're not going to sit down and write 100 pages, believe me. You won't. You probably have 5 or 6. And they're recurring, because we don't allow Christ to cut them out. Does that mean you won't be tempted? No, you'd be tempted. Christ was tempted, but he was without sin. So does that mean that we can get there? Only in him. Only in him. Paul says it right here. John, 1st and 2nd John are really taking into some deep water about sin. But Paul says it right here. It says, awake to the righteousness and sin not. Does that mean you can, was that a rhetorical question? That he was saying, well, you're going to have to keep on sinning, folks. Or what was he saying? Sin not. Does that mean that you can stop? Does it mean that I can stop? You betcha. Only in him, though. You can't do it in your flesh power. Neither can I. Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the night, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Matthew 4, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Yeah, we just came through a big old deal about being a fisher of men. You're a fisher of men, whether you stand on the street with a sign and an 80-pound Bible, or if you stand in your living room talking to your children. You're a fisher of men. Or you stand in your office and you profess Christ and you live a holy life. And you understand the paper clips don't belong to you. The pencils and the paper don't belong to you. And if you want them, ask somebody. They'll probably give them to you. I own a company, so I know people asking for stuff. Yeah. Amen. Matthew 8, but Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. That's a hard scripture. It means more than what that says, though. Matthew 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. That's what he's saying to you and I. Matthew 16, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Oh, boy. Okay, that's a problem, you know. We ain't be no denying ourselves. We want this, we're going to buy it, or we want to have it, or we want to do these things. You know? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You have a cross, and it's not a Catholic cross, if you're a Catholic, because Catholics are taught that they have crosses to bear in a different mode than what Jesus is talking about here. And your cross to bear is for him to strip you of those things that he wants to perfect you with. And those crosses cost. Just like it cost him. Matthew 19, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell your house. In other words, you can be perfect too. I don't want to teach on that, but you know, if you're going to be perfect, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. Mark 2, and as he passed by and saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he rose up and followed him. Mark 8, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples oath, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The only place, I'm going to tell you this, there's only two places I've heard teach this. UBM and Restoration Lodge in Lafayette. And it takes a humbleness and a heart to serve God to teach those what I just read, because people don't want to hear it. That denying self is not something people want to hear. But the only way you're going to get in the deep water, you got to do it. You got to start somewhere. Do like Dave. He's quoting in the, quoting when we started class, he's quoting, I believe it was Jeremiah that was walking in the water. Nope, went into his went into his feet and then his ankles and then his knees and then his thighs, and then it got so deep he had to swim in. That's where you and I want to go. Get out there and swim out far enough where you cannot possibly swim back on your own strength to land or safety. Get out there where you know that if he don't show up, you're going to be a drowned cookie. Mark 10, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack, go sell. Go thy way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt. Read that one before, but let's finish it. Of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. Luke 9, he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him, if you listen to how many times he's saying, then he must mean it. Deny himself and take up his cross daily. Take it up daily. Take it up daily. Why? Because the devil ain't going to leave you alone. The demons aren't going to leave you alone. If you had a temper, he's going to bring situations where the temper is going to come up. If you had bad language, he's going to bring that up. If you had gossip, he's going to put you in a situation where you can do that. So it's every day, every moment. Like Paul said, I die daily, he said. Luke 9, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And that's where he said, you know, the dead bury the dead. Luke 18, now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you lackest one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. John 1:43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, follow me. He said, that's the deal, saints. He wants us to follow him, right? That means you're not leaving. That means I'm not leading. That means he's leading. That means he's taking care of it. That means he's doing the things that he's doing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also be my servant. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 13. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where do you go? And Jesus said, where I go, you can't follow me now, but you shall. He spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now here's what happens, and I'm teaching the close, I believe. I'm fairly close. Love, if you love God, he'll take you out in the open sea. He'll take you out to open water. I'm of the belief that all the Lord is and all that he is made up of, the desires of his heart, the motivating facets of his nature, his character, and his authority is love. His love for us flows through his Son. His desire for us is to love him. Is the manifested presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we are not seen, only he is seen. I don't believe Jesus is pleased or joyful to see the lost go into hell, but he'll sure let them go. Since Paul was concerned about his race running, shouldn't we be? Should not our hearts cry to push out into the deep? Far enough out that we cannot depend on the strength of the flesh to swim back to shore. Far enough out where land is not seen and we have to struggle to stay afloat, and our strength becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, and we thrash about. And we finally come to a realization that if the Lord doesn't move, surely we die. And it's at this point, Saints, we have come into a place of fellowship with him. We've reached a point that flesh and blood cannot sustain us. It must be him and only him. We are now at the point where nothing within us qualifies us for life. And unless we be hid in him, surely we are done in. We have reached the point of Paul, my grace is sufficient. We must be willing to swim out into the deep. And you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. That's what's said in John 5. I don't want that said of me. I know you don't either. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, for they're not willing to listen to me, for all the house of Israel are strong and of forehead and hard of heart. That's Ezekiel 3:7. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1. Let all that those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also love thy name. Be joyful in thee. Psalms 5. O Lord, the Lord, O love the Lord, all you ye saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Psalms 31. Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. How often we say that? All the time. That's Psalm 70. Proverbs 8, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Come on, folks. If you really love God, if you love God like you love your spouses, I'm sure you spend a lot of time with your spouses, or if you don't, I hope you do. And especially now, you know, tomorrow's going to be a big day. I realize it's a world holiday, but you should treat your wife like that all the time. And you should love God like that. If you don't love God like you love your spouse, then you don't love him. If you don't love God like you love your children, then you don't love him. It's not a hard thing to figure out. Because God loved you and I more than he loved anything and gave us his son. Amen? Song of Solomon. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick with love. Song of Solomon's 8. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals there are coals of fire, which have most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it, praise God forever. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be condemned. Contemned, not condemned. Isaiah 61, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Zechariah 8, let none of you imagine evil in your heart. Come on, against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these things are things that I hate. Some of us may be doing things we don't know that he hates. The only way you're going to know that is if you read his word and spend time with him. He'll tell you what he likes, but it's pretty plainly written, 95 or 100% of it in the word. Matthew 5, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? That means that Jesus loved you when you was cursing him, or loving me when I was doing that. Mark 12, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all thy soul and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. John 8, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came of myself, but he sent me. John 15, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Hallelujah. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Come on, folks. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, if you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 17, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He wants to give it to us, but you gotta swim out. You gotta get off the bank. You gotta get out of the baby pool. Romans 12, let love be without dissimulation. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Romans 13, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet it. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Ephesians 1, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. James 1, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for he is in trial, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to all them that love him. You know, if you're paying attention to what I'm saying here, actually what the Lord is saying in Scripture, and you listen to the people that are around you, that they love their shoes, they love their cars, they love their clothes, they love their jewelry, they love their hairdo, they love their pants, they love their job, they love their car, they love to play golf. They love their boat. Whatever it is that you love, and you use how you love these things, are you willing to give anything for that? Sure, even if you bought it, you gave something for it. But what else? And that's the thing that God has been dealing with me. Anything that we love that we can't turn loose of is an idol. And then if it's an idol, that puts them, that whatever it is, above him. And if it's above him, that's a problem. And we can't do that. And going out into the deep, committing your heart to swim out, he's going to show you things. He's going to, just like he's done me, because he's faithful and true and just. He'll show you the things that he wants to clean you up of. You know, it's not your brother's job to scale you. You know, we go out and catch fish. It's the Holy Ghost's job to scale you. And he'll do that. He'll peel all that stuff off. John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not, because it knew him not. First John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. 1 John 3:16-18, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's goods, and seeth his brother has need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word. That's pretty easy to do. Neither in tongue. Yeah, I love you. But in deed and in truth. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Revelations 2, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left your first love. 3:19, as many as I love are rebuke and chasten. I've read that before. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The scriptures, folks, are too numerous to mention them all. I've mentioned a lot of them. You've been shown by the Holy Ghost of the Scriptures supporting the premise that our flesh is enmity to God. He hates it, and he wants it submitted to the cross, your personal cross. Pick it up and follow him. Satan would have you believe it's impossible. We can't make it. There's no way. As long as we allow our flesh to dictate, organize, and manipulate us, he's going to be right. The Lord Jesus Christ said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the evil one. Lo, Satan cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. Hiding behind our elder brother Jesus, there's nothing impossible to us. we are more than conquerors. Yes, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Glory to God forever. Moses had to die in the wilderness for 40 years when he went into a mountain. Then he went into a mountain. You know, he came out of Egypt, went to a mountain 40 days, roamed around the desert for 40 years. Noah stayed shut up in the ark for 40 days. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Elijah fled to a cave. Jonah was in the belly of a fish. The Hebrew children were thrown into a furnace. Jesus went to the cross. And by his abiding in his Father unto this very hour, and we abiding in him, we can take up our cross and follow him. Because we are his sheep, and we hear his voice, and no other voice will we follow. Surely you know by now the voice of Spirit. Only the flesh voice echoes that we can't make it. And he that taketh not his cross and follows me is not worthy of me. That's Matthew 10. And I've read all those cross scriptures, and I'm not going to go back over them. Save for the guy that was on the cross by him. He said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Yeah, see, that flesh thing. And when he had called unto him with his disciples off, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Matthew 5, and if the right hand offend thee, this is how you get to the deep end of the water, the deep end of the pool, the deep end of the ocean. If your right hand offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. If it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, don't anybody go cut their arms off because they do things that they shouldn't be doing, or cut their feet off because they go to places with their feet that they shouldn't be going, or gouge their eyes out, or stick pins in their ears. You don't want to do any of that nonsense. What the Word is saying, what Jesus is saying here, is that you know what it is. You need to get rid of it. Take it out. Submit it to him. Submit to the chastening. Submit to your personal cross. And he will fix those feet, fix those hands, fix those eyes, those ears, fix that tongue.
Amen.
Fix it.